Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome here to Earl Henry Stadium in Clearwater, Florida for this, the LA 10 Tampa Gator Bait divisional playoff game, the first of two divisional playoff games that we're going to be watching here today in the Dickman America Phil Henry Football League. I'm Ed Garlean here along with Larry McKinney. And Larry, it all comes down to the postseason now. These two ball clubs, along with two others, surviving the melee that has been this 2012 season.
Yeah, and I can tell you, Ned, having survived a few melees myself, these are two football teams that come out of the regular season, as most of the ball clubs do, without a lot of injuries. But they do come out of that season with a far clearer idea, I think, of what they're up against. These two football teams, the LA 10 and the Tampa Gator Bait, have played before during a regular season. LA 10 and the Tampa Gator Bait played in week 10, losing. The LA 10 did, losing it out there at Montney Field to the Tampa Gator Bait. 17-13, that football game, they was able to handle Van Caviter very, very handsomely, the Tampa defense was. And L.A. could not get on track. And, of course, it was Barry Weiss who was doing a lot of the lifting there for L.A., or rather for Tampa in that ball game.
And we take a look at the L.A. 10 with running back Joe Calhoun, who has not really panned out as well as, I guess, a lot of people in the Los Angeles organization wanted him to.
No, I don't think he has. I think Joe Calhoun has had a pretty decent season, but he's still sitting down, like ninth or tenth overall among running backs in the Hillbilly Football Conference. Finished up the regular season with 590 rushing yards and only two rushing touchdowns, as opposed to Barry Weiss. He had a very good regular season, 729 yards, and Barry had 4 yards per carry. And I think if he played the whole season, all 16 games to come in, I think with about halfway through the season, I think it would have been quite a different story, a much more successful story for him.
Well, the Tampa Gator Bait are playing at home here, and the only other time they played at home against the Los Angeles 10 was in a preseason game that they lost 10-7.
I think that Tampa, just looking at the overall, just looking at the overall situation, I think Tampa's going to have a heck of a tough time, getting, playing L.A. here today, because L.A. had, I just think they showed a heck of a lot more in terms of their explosiveness and everything like that.
All right, well, we'll be right back with the starting lineups for today's game in just a moment. Proud to bring you this edition of the Phil Henry Football League Dickman America Game of the Week, the 2012 playoffs. And when it comes to your family's future, think of the Newcomb Group. Finances, portfolios, college scholarships, and, of course, your home mortgage. All is there waiting for you in your dreams at the Newcomb Group. Once the economy crashes, well, don't worry about it right now.
Everything's coming up roses at Barney's Roses. Barney's Roses is one of the top nurseries in all of the western half of the United States.
Look at that!
Barney's Roses have won 5 years running the Rose Festival Award, the number one rose in America.
Look at that!
Barney's Roses. Pin one on your lapel. Give one to a girlfriend. Put it in the middle of the table. Barney's Roses are so gorgeous, so beautiful, we're dead serious about roses. This isn't some quote-unquote flowery commercial.
Look at that!
Barney's Roses. Go to Barney's Roses Nursery, 15th and Wabash, downtown Milwaukee.
Look at that!
Barney's Roses.
Ned Garlean here along with Larry McKinney here at Tampa's Earl Henry Stadium as we get set for the first of two divisional playoff games today. And, of course, the Dickman Cup will be played in the Dickman Bowl. And, Larry, you had a pretty good line.
Yeah, in a town a lot of people think is just full of dicks.
Okay. Well, let's take a look now at these starting lineups of these two ball clubs, the LA Tan and the Tampa Gator Bait. Now, one thing to remember about the Tampa Gator Bait, of course, is that they are going with a quarterback, Pete Hill, who was benched for two games during the regular season in favor of Sean Snuck and then put back into the starting lineup. And since then, has performed a little bit better, but Pete Hill comes in here with 18 interceptions.
Yeah, Pete Hill has come into this ball game with far, far too many interceptions for me to be comfortable with as I was the head coach. And then another thing about it, Van Cavender of the LA Tan has thrown 11 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions, but he's got better receivers to work with than I think Pete Hill does. Pete Hill has got, you know, some good ones. Got Ariba Mikes. You're going to see Mo Irvin moved up in the depth chart today. But when you talk about a guy like Roshan Sanchez and Calvin Oskerton, and then, of course, Mike Furry, it's pretty good. And then another thing is Tampa's got a better, I think, tight end.
You do think the tight end, Norris Easton.
Norris Easton, I think. They play a three tight end set in Tampa, too.
Well, let's take a look now at the starting lineups here for the L.A. Tan. Coming to this ball game as the visiting team, the starting quarterback for the L.A. Tan is Van Cavender. Van Cavender, number 17, 6'2", 215 pounds from Arkansas State. The running back is Joe Callion from Georgia, 5'10", 223 pounds. The fullback is Pat Kaloon, 6'3", 250 pounds from Cal. Wide receivers, Calvin Oskerton, 5'11", 197 from Wisconsin. Rashawn Sanchez, 6'4", 177 pounds from Missouri. And Mike Furry, 5'10", 180 from Northern Iowa. At the tight end position is Mutz Percy. He's 6'3", 255 from Notre Dame, and Sean McHugh, 6'5", 285 from Penn State. On the offensive line, which is some people think is a weak spot for this football team, Curly Carlisle, of course that could explain the tough sledding they've had in the running game. Curly Carlisle is the left tackle, 6'4", 320 pounds. He's playing at the left tackle spot. At left guard is Zach Olin from Oklahoma, 6'5", 318 pounds. Playing at center for LA is Adam Bouget, a seventh-week free agent signed from Nebraska, 6'5", 300 pounds. Playing at right guard is Gip Kingston. He was the former center. They moved him over to the right guard position where they got Adam Bouget. Gip Kingston, 6'1", 310 from Purdue. And at right tackle, it is Horace Foreman, 6'6", 315 from the University of Texas. At left end, it is Walter Godberg. It's a moving Walter Godberg. It's Ed Loveme. Ed Loveme.
Yeah, Walter Godberg, they'll bring him in on goal line situations.
It is Ed Loveme at left end, 6'4", 272 pounds. And over the right end position, it's Betts Nasty. He is 6'5", 264 from South Carolina. Defensive tackle is Voden Ash. Voden Ash is 6'1", 308 pounds from Eastern Michigan. And Fante Watson, 6'3", 313 from the University of Georgia. At the left outside linebacker, it is Al Tabulia, 6'2", 228 from Temple. Middle linebacker is Coach Lanier, 6'2", 240 from Richmond. And the right outside linebacker is Seymour Crotch, 5'10", 236 pounds from Appalachian State. Moving on to the cornerback position is Hector Glimmer, 6'2", 190 from Texas. Number one draft pick for the LA Tan during the preseason. The other corner is Ray Carbo. Now, as you were mentioning, Ray Carbo has been moved up in the depth chart as well, Larry.
That's right. Ray Carbo moving ahead of Eric Mina. Eric Mina is now going to be the third cornerback in that situation. They require a third cornerback and a nickel. And, of course, they also have Malaka Brown, who will come in as a fourth corner if need be.
At free safety, it is Goon Van Allen. Goon Van Allen, number 39, 6 foot 210 from Boise State. Into the nickel situations, at the extra safety position will be Dante Heath, 5'10", 192 from Air Force. And at the strong safety, it is Artemis Garvin, 6 foot 200 pounds from Penn State. The kicker is Bliss Wintershack from Notre Dame. And the punter is Toddler Odom from Cal. And the head coach of the LA Tan is TJ Bunn. All right, Larry McKinney now with the starting lineups here for the Tampa Gator Bait.
Well, thanks a lot, Ned. Good ball game in store for you fans today. I can tell you that right now. Starting a quarterback for the Tampa Gator Bait, Pete Hill, 6'5", 237. He played his college ball at Stanford. I couldn't afford to go to Stanford. The best I could do, was University of Louisiana Monroe.
That's a good school.
Yeah, it's okay. But wasn't no Stanford, I'll tell you that. Playing at the running back is Barry Weiss. Barry Weiss is 6 foot, 254 pounds. He's from Michigan State. He had a heck of a good season. At fullback is Tango Carruthers. Watch this guy. Watch him close because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's 6 foot, 254 from Utah. Over at wide receiver, they got Mo Irvin. Like we said, Mo Irvin's been moved up now. Mo Irvin taking the place of Wayne Lick as the primary receiver. Wayne Lick will be in that secondary spot, and then moving into that third slot there is Ariba Michelson, and he is from Michigan State, and Wayne Lick played his college ball at the University of Florida. At the tight end position is Norris Yeaston. Norris Yeaston is 6'4", 270 from Georgia Tech. They got Bodine Fudd from New Hampshire, 6'3", 220, and then Webster Calhoun from Colgate, 6'5", 260 pounds when they need that third tight end in there. At the left tackle position is Lug Harris. Lug Harris, 6'6", 307. Neither one of these ball clubs, I would say, has a standout offensive left tackle, but I'll tell you something. One of the areas where I think the Tampa Gator Bait has got it all over L.A. is at the left guard slot. Keith Coluni, he's a great one, 6'2", 304 from Hawaii. Playing at the center slot for Tampa is Izzy Schley. He's 6'3", 285 pounds from Minnesota. At right guard is Connor Benford from Syracuse, 6'5", 312 pounds. Right tackle there is Otis Piley, 6'5", 305. Moving on defense now, Peterson Mugga, left end from Wyoming. Peterson Mugga, 6'1", weighs 250 pounds. Playing over at the right end position here in Tampa is Ty Garfner, who they acquired from the D.C. Federal Brigade early in the season, 6'4", 268 pounds, and he played his college ball at Purdue. At defensive tackle, number one draft pick for Tampa this year, they went with defense, and they went with Erstwhile Perkins from Vanderbilt, 6'2", 285 pounds, weighs number 71. Picking up from Hillbilly One, they got Irving Swerve. Boy, I'll tell you something right now. Here's a good candidate for Rookie of the Year, too. Irving Swerve, number 98, 6'2", 296 from Maryland. At left outside linebacker for the Tampa Gator Bait is Mekkie Bevin, 6', 241 from Florida State. Playing in the middle is Bradley Searsucker, 6'3", 237 pounds, and he played his college ball at South Florida. And a right outside linebacker is Darian Kasbaugh from Florida State, 6'3", 240 pounds. Cornerbacks, Luther Poodle, outstanding corner, and Fermont Lee. Right there, you got the top three draft picks. You had Luther Poodle, you got
Erstwhile Perkins.
Erstwhile Perkins right here, Fermont Lee, who they got week 7. And then at the third corner position, Slick Davidson, 5'8", 185 from Virginia. Free safety is Raymond Ellery, 6'1", 190 pounds, and a trade from Portland to get Raymond Ellery. And they got Fatso Berry at free safety, 6'1", 214 from Syracuse. Fatso in a nickel package. And then overall at the strong safety position is Marvell Gutsy, 5'10", 197 from San Diego State. Kicking the football for Tampa is Mike Salazar. Their punter is Logan Buster, and head coach of the Tampa Gator Bait, very good friend of mine, Darren Duckford. And good luck to all of players and coaches and everybody and stuff like that. All right, let's get set to watch this one, folks. It's the Tampa Gator Bait hosting the L.A. Tan in this first ever divisional playoff game in the Phil Hendry Football League, Dickman America.
This game report has been brought to you by the Newcomb Group. The Newcomb Group, for money, cash, checks, traveler's checks, letters of credit. It's the Newcomb Group. We'll come to you. Don't bother us. The Newcomb Group, for the last 100 years, spending more money on themselves than ever before.
Newcomb Group. The Newcomb Group is something you've got to look into. There's no question. No question at all. When we say at the Newcomb Group, we take good care of your money. We're not kidding. Oh, sure, you think we're thieves and we're going to do what we want with your money. No, we're not. You want investments in school. You want investments in your future, in your retirement. We do, too, for ourselves and our families. When we take your money and we invest it in ourselves, our families, you'll be astounded at how well we do with it. And you may want to reinvest just to see us do great things with your money for ourselves. The Newcomb Group.
Hendry Stadium here in Clearwater, Florida. Hi, everybody. This is Ned Garline along with Larry McKinney, and welcome to this first ever
of Dickman America Phil Henry Football League playoff game between the Tampa Gator Bait and the visiting L.A. Tan. And Larry McKinney, the Tampa Gator Bait looked to be a football team from the gate, if you'll pardon the gate, the gator, that kind of a nonsensical rhyme, as being a team that was going to be competing here.
Well, I tell you, Ned, you're a good man. I like you very much, but let's leave the jokes to me, Larry McKinney, because I've...
All right, I'll do that.
Yeah, because I've got a far more of a flair, but Gator, yeah, right out of the gator, you might say, they looked to be a team that would contend for the divisional title. But I tell you, what they thought would be the team was the D.C. Federal Brigade, and they wind up, you know, taking it square in the shorts last game of the season. Losing that ball game to L.A., and guess what? Here's L.A. now taking on the Tampa Gator Bait. I think both of these ball clubs are very good, but I'd have to give the edge in this one to L.A.
And why's that?
Well, I think L.A.'s defense is going to be proved out to be the stronger of the two. And I think when it comes right down to it, L.A.'s got the better wide receivers than Roshon Sanchez and Calvin Oscarton and Mike Furry, too.
All right, we're getting ready to get underway here from Earl Henry Stadium in Tampa, Florida. The temperature about 72 degrees as the teams take the field. And we also have cloudy skies, no threat of rain. The field dry, playing here at Earl Henry with the grassy turf. The L.A. Tan will kick off to the Tampa Gator Bait, kicking off for L.A.'s Bliss Winter Shack. And we're just about ready to get underway. Here is the kick for this Eastern Divisional playoff game later on tonight. Of course, we've got Utah at Portland for the Western Divisional. And up comes Hooverman, Eric Hooverman on the return there for the Tampa Gator Bait. And they'll get the ball here right out of the gate.
We're going to be milking that gate. And that's okay. Let's milk it and milk it good, because the Gator Bait are at the gates of greatness.
23-yard line starting things here in an I formation. Two wide receivers put wide to the left. Tampa going right to left on your radio dial. Long count here by Pete Hill, the quarterback of the Tampa Gator Bait. He gives the ball there to the running back. It's Boyd Weiss. Likes to go with the name of Barry Weiss. Barry Weiss.
Yeah, they had a lot of guys. I think when he come from L.A. too, this boy. I shouldn't say boy because I'm very racially. But they had a couple of guys named Boyd, Tuey Boyd, guy like that.
Anyway, Barry Weiss taking the ball down to the 27-yard line, second down and six. An offset eye formation to the right side. The Tampa Gator Bait there with a tight on the left side. Two wide receivers. Back to pass. Pete L throwing over the middle. Incomplete pass. The ball right at the 30-yard line intended there for number 87, Wayne Lick. And in on the play, there was Artemis Garvin, the strong safety.
That's just a little bit of a crossing pattern there for the tight end. It didn't look like he's able to get his hands on good coverage.
Offset eye formation again to the right side. The tight end to the left side. Third down and six. Ball at the 26-yard line for the Tampa Gator Bait here just underway. Now they shift the fullback Tango Cuevas to the left. Back to pass. Throwing over the middle. Incomplete pass. And again, the pass looked like it was intended for Wayne Lick, the wide receiver, crossing from left to right.
Well, let me tell you what happened there is Wayne Lick was going left to right from the short side over to long side right and got in his path there as Goon Van Allen. That almost was a pickoff.
And so in comes the punter, Logan Buster, to kick the ball away here. 4:31 to go in the first quarter, just underway from Earl Henry Stadium in Clearwater, Florida. The kick is up. Good kick, a high-hanging kick coming down around the 27-yard line there by Calvin Oscarton. Eli Bashy with the ball, and he's tackled immediately. Great stick.
Yeah, I'll say it was a great stick there by Brad Cother on special team. Good play there, Brad, at special team play there out to 31.
First down and 10 to the 31-yard line. L.A. coming out in I formation. Wide receiver split to the left. Here's a play fake. Throwing the ball to the short side. The ball is caught. Complete. Around the 35-yard line deep in Tampa territory on a beautiful play fake there by Van Cavender. And fooled the entire defense. The blitz was on. Van Cavender threw the play fake there and tossed the ball to near sideline just over a Fermont Lee's hands around the 41-yard line. First and 10 for L.A. Ball spotted now at the 37-yard line. Here's the give running left to Joe Calhoun down to the 35. Calhoun knocking people over down to the 30-yard line. Great running there by Joe Calhoun, big number 34.
Boy, did he get some good blocking there, especially Horace Foreman coming over from right tackle all the way over from right tackle left side. Curly Carlisle in there. Zach Olin in there. Roshon Sanchez throwing a good block, too.
Second down and three, ball at the 32-yard line. Now in motion up the left side. To the near side comes Joe Calhoun.
They got three wide receivers out there now. Back to passes. Van Caperton throwing underneath. Completes the pass to the 25-yard line. Rashawn Sanchez. Again with the tackle there is Fermont Lee, but another first down for the L.A. Tan.
Boy, that L.A. Tan, if they throw that ball short, it's very difficult to cover a wide receiver. Let's keep in mind that Rashawn Sanchez led the league in receiving for the longest time in this here league.
Offset eye formation. Ball at the 24-yard line to the L.A. Tan. Threatening here early. Here's the give. Running counter to the right side. There is Joe Kelly in all kinds of blocking. Close to a first down. What a block he got over there.
Yeah, that was Zach Holden pulling there from the right guard position and blocking off on Marvio Gutsy, who's a strong safety.
Boy, that was a great block. Sprung Joe Calhoun for another 5 yards. First down, the ball at the 14-yard line. Offset eye formation to the near side now. L.A. going right to left. Two wide receivers, a tight end to the left side. And the Tampa Gator be down with three down linemen running to the left side. Joe Calhoun and just sort of stalking and covering him over there and knocking him down around the 14-yard line for no gain. Is the middle linebacker Bradley Searsucker.
Bradley Searsucker is a week 7 free agent signee, and boy, he did so good to move Becky Bevin over to the left side, put Bradley in there.
Second down and 10, offset eye formation to the right side, the strong side, two wide receivers to the right side. The LA showing, or rather Tampa showing blitz on the right of the running counter to the left side. All kinds of running over the 10, down to the 9-yard line goes Joe Calhoun. Boy, I'll tell you, there was nobody over there.
There sure wasn't nobody over there. There was just a great counterplay as Calhoun went to the left again. Tampa going all the way over to the right side.
That is Raymond Ellery coming up on the tackle. L.A. has run 5 running plays, 1 passing play. The ball down to the 9-yard line. They got 3 wide receivers to the right side. A single back play fake by Van Caviter standing the 14-yard line. Throw the ball back this way. Incomplete pass right at the goal line. Knocked down by Fermont Lee, intended for Rashawn Sanchez.
Well, that's one of those plays. You know, you better make sure you know where you're throwing that ball. That's a time and play all the way.
27-yard field goal try now for Bliss Wintershack. So Tampa hanging on, I would have to say, in the face of a relentless drive there by the L.A. Tan. Tampa's hung on, and they will hold it to a 3-point field goal. There's the kick. It's up. It's good. Bliss Wintershack there with the kick. And early here in this divisional playoff for the 2012 season to see who plays in the Dickman Bowl next week, it is L.A. 3, Tampa nothing here. This is Dickman America.
From Earl Henry. Jerry Sanzibar for Sanzibar's Blood and Guts Little Girl Fashions. See, what we do at Blood and Guts Little Girl Fashions is we put your child into a decent little girl's dress. We do her hair like she's a little girl and give her little tiny shoes that little girls wear, and she does little girl stuff. We do not sexualize these children or make them look like they're strippers in a bar to fulfill some sick, twisted adult's fantasy as to what a sexy little girl looks like. What is that about anyway? So come to Sanzibar's Blood and Guts Little Girls Fashions. All right, now we get to the part, why is it called Blood and Guts? Because if we find any adults anywhere near our establishment or in our establishment or within, say, 100 yards of our establishment that want to dress a little girl in a bathing suit or a two-piece or maybe hot pants or have her do some kind of a bump and grind, the guts and the blood just flows. It flows like water. It flows like a river. Oh, yeah.
Blood and Guts Little Girl Fashions in the Corkland Mall.
It's up. It's good. Bliss Wintershack there with the kick. And early here in this divisional playoff for the 2012 season to see who plays in the Dickman Bowl next week, it is L.A. 3, Tampa nothing here. This is Dickman America. From Earl Henry Stadium, this is Ned Garline along with Larry McKinney here at the Dickman America playoffs for the 2012 season. We got a capacity crowd here in Clearwater, Florida for this one.
Well, they're too, excuse me for saying this, but they're kind of tired of rooting for the buck of queers.
Yeah. I bring the ball up to the mid to the 30-yard line, cutting it right up the middle. There was number 43, Eric Hooverman, the return man from the Tampa Gator Bay. Got a great return out of that 31-yard line. First down for the Tampa Gator Bay.
Yeah, they're tired. I know, Ned. You know, they're tired of rooting for the buck of queers.
Ball at the 30-yard line, I formation. The tight end to the right side. Tampa going from the left to right. Now the tight end, that's Norris Yeaston, moving over to the left side. L.A. shifting back to the right side. Back to pass is Pete Hill. Pete Hill throwing the ball down the near sideline and all kinds of coverage over the incomplete pass as the ball was intended for, looked like, Mo Irving.
Yeah, Mo Irving's been moved up on that depth chart. He's taken the place of Billy Box. As a matter of fact, he's the primary receiver now. You got Mo Irving, you got Wayne Lick, and you got Ariba Michelson.
A second down and 10, the ball at the 30-yard line. Two wide receivers up to the near side. Now running left, there goes Barry Weiss to the 39-yard line. Big run as he ran counter again. Goon Van Allen in on the tackle, but not before Barry Weiss picks up 6 yards on the play. A third down and 3 for the Tampa Gator Bait. The ball at the 37-yard line, 3-0 L.A., 1:48 to go in the first quarter. I formation, L.A. with a wide receiver to the high side, a wide receiver down to the low side. Four down linemen for L.A. Back to pass to Speed L on the delay. It is Barry Weiss, fourth down, and just kept from catching that first down there by Seymour Crotch, the right side linebacker, and coming in as well in the middle there, Coach Lanier. Well, we talked about Coach Lanier, one of the top tacklers in this league, and here's a good example why. When they look like they got a first down, here comes the coach. No way, no way, no way. Fourth down and inches. The ball to the 40-yard line. Kicking from around the 25 is Logan Buster. The ball is going to be coming down. Eli Bashy, fair catch signal. The ball bounds into the end zone for a fair catch. And we'll take time out here from Earl Henry Stadium. It is the LA 10-3. The Tampa Gator Bait nothing here. Dickman America playoffs.
Please make it stop. Please don't do it anymore. Make it stop.
Would you make it stop? Don't play that. Don't do that. Please don't play it anymore. Just stop. Just stop the music, please.
But they didn't stop the music. Hans, rated R.
Now showing at a theater near you. Please make it stop. Why don't you do that? What's wrong?
Back here at the Earl Henry facility in Clearwater, Florida. 3-0 L.A. coming out. The L.A. 10 going right to left on your radio dial. We're going to split back offense in motion to the rest side. Goes Sanchez, the wide receiver. Running the ball is number 22, Pat Cologne, the fullback. And a fullback blast play gets maybe a yard, and that is it. Ball to the 22-yard line. Tackle made by Mackie Bevan.
Yeah, I think the L.A. 10 there showing a very good resourcefulness on offense in that drive that got the field goal on a big pass play on the play fake right out of the gate.
Here's the run running up the middle. There goes Joe Killeen with a first down and more down to the 35-yard line. Wow.
Yeah, you got that L.A. line again. Adam Bouget is their free agent draftee there in week 7. You got Foreman coming over there. You got Gip Kangston coming over there. Finally, Darren Casbaugh making a tackle.
First down and 10, ball to the 35-yard line. I formation for L.A. It's a fake to the fullback, and now giving to the running back. The ball across the 40, the 41-yard line. Joe Calying, 39 rushing yards in this ballgame, 6.5 per carry. Boy, I don't think anybody would have guessed this.
I'll tell you, the playoffs, when you find out who the players is and who they isn't, you know, you talk all you want about Barry Weiss. He's had a hell of a good year, and Joe Calying struggled. But look at this. Look who's stepping up, huh?
Single back formation, two wide receiver to the left side. L.A. back to passes. Van Caviter completes the pass on a little slant pattern for a first down to the midfield stripe is Roshan Sanchez. Fermont Lee making the tackle there, number 28. And again, L.A. benefiting from those short passes. Of course, complimented at some point in this ball game as they did early in this quarter with the long pass. Opposite eye formation to the right side. Two wide receiver to the high side. Going right to left, the L.A. 10. Now there's the give to Calhoun. Hit in the backfield. That's the end of the first quarter. It's L.A. 3. The Tampa Gator Bay nothing here. Dickman America playoffs for 2012.
Yul Bolton has been helping you and people like you for over 61 years with your financial planning. And with any luck, and with good action from the United States Congress, Yul Bolton will be in business for another 61 years. It does our heart good to know that Yul Bolton, Buell Bilton subsidiaries, and Buell Bilton Blue and Green will be here long after you're gone and we're gone. Buell Bilton will live on, not with people, but as an independent operating computer system with its own brain. Think of it. Don't be afraid. Please, just think of it. Open your mind to the possibilities.
Please don't make me just...
Yeah, lock him up.
No, please. The super brain.
Buell Bilton. The super brain lives on.
Earl Henry Stadium here. This is Ned Garlin along with Larry McKinney. And a preceding play there, Ned, I just want to point out Peterson Mugga come in and just, he mugged that guy, Joe Calhoun. LA out of the ball, 45-yard line, second down and 14. They are flirting with Tampa territory right now. There's a play fake to the tight end. Running left is to the high side is Joe Calhoun again. He's tackled this time to the right side. The big right end over there for the Tampa Gatorvate, making the tackle. And that counterplay may be running out of gas a little bit for the L.A. Tan. The ball now at the 48-yard line, 3rd and 13, 2 wide receiver to the right side, tight end to the right side, tap of the 4-down lineman, a nickel package, single back, back to pass is Van Caviter. He takes a short drop and completes the pass shy of the first down. The ball was in and out of the hands of the wide receiver over there.
Yeah, it was Calvin Oskerton was the receiver, Ned, and it was Luther Poodle making a big play on him there at the 40-yard line in Tampa territory. Good play there by Luther Poodle to keep the first down from coming into L.A.'s hands.
Here comes the punt by Toddler Odom for the L.A. Tan. They lead 3-0 here in this 2013 divisional playoff game. The ball bound to get to the end zone for the touchback. We'll take time out here from Earl Henry facility here at Clearwater, Florida. L.A. 3, Tampa nothing.
Have you ever wanted to achieve immortality? Of course you have. Who hasn't? Well, now you can with Father Gerdner's Immortality Pills. I'm Father Gerdner. I'm a defrocked priest, but I won't say from what religion. And no, it's not just Catholicism that has priests. Greek Orthodox does too, as well as Episcopalian. There's a great many different religions, including some satanic, that actually have priests. So I won't tell you that I was defrocked and thrown out of the Roman Catholic faith. Now, anyway...
You ass!
I'm sorry, Hi, I'm one of the investors in Father Gerdner's immortality pills. I was hoping this asshole wouldn't say that he had been defrocked at all, and then he says he's been defrocked from the Roman Catholic faith. So that completely butchers up my investment of a cool $250,000 in these immortality pills. I don't know if they work. Do they work?
Would it surprise you if I told you that I'm 600 years old?
Bullshit. Give me some proof, okay?
This hurts.
Now I gotta think of something. Shit.
Father Gerdner's immortality pills. You buy, we guarantee you'll never die. Not in our hearts.
No, bullshit. It's not the right pitch.
Available now at Wombat's in the Fresh Clean Water Mall. This is Ned Garling, along with Larry McGinney here at the Earl Henry Stadium in Clearwater, Florida for this 2013 divisional playoff game. Later on, it is Utah at Portland with Jack I. Gagner. Here is a run out to the right side by Barry Weiss to the 23-24-yard line. Barry Weiss running with the ball. Barry Weiss wound up the season with 729 rushing yards, one touchdown. Of course, who knows what might have been done had they had that extra game, but they won last week by way of a forfeit to the Milwaukee Lions. Second down and 7, the ball at the 24-yard line. Play fake by Pete Dale. Pete Dale standing the 15-yard line, throwing the ball down the middle of the field. It is caught at the, well, caught around the 35-yard line by Wayne Lick. What a pass, just straight over the middle. Backpedaling Artemis Garvin, and he was behind the play, and Garvin had to come up, play a little catch up there and make the play. Goon Van Allen was back there as well as Hector Glimmer, but it was Artemis Garvin coming back to the strong safety to tackle Wayne Lick, but a big pass play, 1 of 4, 39 yards for Pete L. The ball at the 37-yard line, first down for Tampa. The give is to Barry Weiss. He runs to the 35, 33-yard line before he's stopped there by Coach Lanier. That's exactly what you got to do. On two play fakes, you notice now, two play fakes, L.A. and now Tampa. They get that big chunk of yardage, and now next thing you know, they're going to rely on that running game. You watch them. Now, if Tampa want to change it up a little bit, I'd throw the ball underneath here. Here's a single back running to the right side again. It is Barry Weiss across the 30 to the 28-yard line. Weiss with 23 rushing yards, 36 for Joe Calhoun. And as we've often said, this is a running back league. Sometimes you talk about quarterback leagues. This is a running back league. Well, there's no doubt about it, and Fruit Bar Williams is who we'll be looking at later on in the Utah game. He's a state-of-the-art. He sort of sets a standard. Delay to the running back on the play. And now it's Norris Yeaston is going out with an injury. It was Joe Calhoun stopped for no gain, maybe even a yard loss. And the tight end, Norris Yeaston, coming over to block on that play, going out with it looks to be an injured arm. A 49-yard field goal try now by Max Salazar. The ball is down. The kick is up here at Earl Henry Stadium, and it's good. And the Tampa Gatorade have tied this thing up. 3 apiece on a kick by Mike Salazar in this 2012 divisional playoff game. This is Ned Garlino along with Aaron McKinney. We'll be back
in just a moment.
Joe gonna add lemonade. It's the lemonade he made before he went in the booby hatch. He made up quite a batch. Yes, Joe gonna add lemonade is the finest lemonade ever made by someone who is a borderline psychotic sociopath. An individual so sadistic, we don't even know where the bodies are buried because we haven't even begun thinking about it yet. We took one look at him and said, yes, he's killed, but let's not go there right now because this lemonade is so good. A Joe Gonad lemonade, it's the lemonade he made before he flipped his lid. He made up quite a bit. Joe Gonad lemonade.
I'm Joe Gonad. You can have some.
Sure. Joe Gonad Lemonade, available now at all Percival Brothers and Old Lady Lambstock Lingerie.
On that drive, Wayne Lick with a 39-yard catch, a pivotal play on that play fake in L.A. and Tampa, all knotted up.
Back here at Earl Henry Stadium with Tampa kicking off to L.A. after the field goal, 2:59 remaining in the second quarter. At the half, we'll be giving you the stats on this particular game thus far. We'll also have Burley Hart in, who is the commissioner of the Phil Henry Football League, Dickman America, and might even be talking with a few other people, some celebrities here, and so on and so forth.
Well, I don't want to say anything, but I think I'm the biggest celebrity here, and I'm saying that serious. I don't mean I've no ego or anything, but
well, we'll see. Offside eye formation, first down, a ball at the 30-yard line for the L.A. 10. Wide receiver in tight to the right side, that's Calvin Oskerton. The tight end is the left side, running wide to the left. There goes Joe Calhini. Gets out to the 31-yard line. Boy, you see that blocking starting to set up, and now Raymond Ellery going out for the Tampa Gator bait.
Well, Raymond Ellery come in and make that play on Joe Calhoun. Sometimes you forget just how, you know, solid these running backs are. Raymond Ellery looked like he went down with a shoulder injury there.
Second down and 8. The ball to the 31-yard line. L.A. now audibling at the line. In tight to the right side goes the wide receiver. That's a wide receiver. And there goes the blitz, and down he goes to the 25-yard line. So I guess it doesn't matter. Peterson Mugga coming in from that left end, making the play.
Yeah, well, they're bringing that tight end there that was Mutch Percy coming in tight on the right side as if it was going to be a running play, which it was a running play, and they sniffed it real good.
Third down and 14, ball at the 25-yard line. Two wide receivers in tight on the right side. Now in motion to the left side as the receiver goes Joe Calhoun. That leaves the fullback back to pass at the 20-yard line is Van Cavanaugh throwing the ball short, but it is shy of the first down to Rashawn Sanchez. Sanchez had the ball. It was Luther Poodle covering him all the way and tackling him well shy of the first down. Around the, well, they weren't much past the line of scrimmage. The ball was down around the 25-yard line. So fourth and 13. There is the two-minute warning. We'll be back here from Earl Henry Stadium in Tampa. It is L.A. 3, Tampa 3 here in Dickman America playoffs.
You're lucky if you're Lily. You're lucky if you're me. You're lucky if you're Lily. Lily Chevrolet. Hey, this is Cat Lily, everybody. And I'll tell you, Lily Chevrolet has been doing it for a long time. Lucky to be me, lucky to be alive, and lucky to be selling Chevrolets at Lucky Lily. If you come to Lucky Lily Chevrolet right now, right this very moment, we won't be open. I'm kidding. No, we're open. We're open all day tonight, all night tomorrow day, all day tomorrow day, all night tonight, as well as all day, every day, no matter what the day is. Closed on Christmas? You got to be kidding. At Lucky Lily Chevrolet, we're open on Christmas, open on New Year's, the most sacred day you could possibly think of. Think of a day when we shouldn't be working. I know. I've got a lot of Jewish salesmen. They're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Neither are a lot of my very, very conservative Christian salespeople. Well, guess what? They don't work on the Sabbath. They don't eat because they don't have a job. They get fired. That's how much I care about you. Oh, you're lucky if you're Lily. You're lucky if you're me. You're lucky if you're Lily. Lily Chevrolet.
Lily Chevrolet. Downtown. All around town.
Ned Garlean and Larry McKinney at Earl Henry Stadium. A 3-3 tie here between the L.A. 10 and the Tampa Gator Bait here in this first round. The only round of the playoffs. Next week is the Dickman Bowl.
Yeah, next week we've got one round of playoffs and the Dickman Bowl. That's the way I like it. I like to have the one round and the Dickman. One round of Dickman.
Fair catch called for by Eric Hooverman. Down around the 27-yard line for the Tampa Gator Bait on that punt by Toddler Odom. So it'll be Jack I. Gagner along with Brett Morrison in Portland later on after this one for the Utah Flaming Cavalry and the team with the best record in the Dickman America, the Portland Logs at 14-2. First down, back to pass now from the 25-yard line. Throw the ball to the far sideline. Caught the ball at the 48-yard line. He did. Was Mo Irving run out of bounds by Hector Glimmer at the 46-yard line, and the shotgun is tapping out. Hurry up offense. First and 10. Throwing the ball to the far sideline again. And again, a completed pass there to Mo Irving. Mo Irving, as you pointed out, Larry, has been moved up in that moved up in the wide receiver position from the fourth wide receiver to the first. Raven Ellery will return. He's got a strained pectoral muscle, as we're told, in the shotgun formation now. Ball at the 42-yard line. 1:38 to go here in the first half. 3-3. Tie. Shotgun formation. Throwing the ball to the far sideline. Incomplete again. So that's three straight passes to the far sideline on just a slant pattern, huh, Larry?
Yeah, you're sending down. Well, not a slant. Go down and then out. And Mo Irving, who's a wide receiver, kind of an X factor there, starting him as the primary target and working against Hector Glimmer.
I formation, two wide receivers down low. Now in motion over to the right side goes Wayne Lick. Second down and 10, the ball at the 37-yard line. Back to pass is Pete Ill. Ill looking, Ill throwing down the far sideline again, and there was nobody there. He had Irving, or I should say he had, looked like Barry Weiss, who had gone out of that halfback out play, but he underthrew the ball, and it looked dangerously close to some white jersey L.A. Tam defenders. Third down, now 37-yard line, the 42-yard line, rather, in the shotgun formation. Pete Ill, he gets hit as he throws the ball, incomplete pass. And so Los Angeles regrouping after sort of being struck by a little bit of lightning there in that hurry-up. And they're able to hold Tampa. It looks to be a punting situation. It is. In comes Logan Buster, who has had two punts in the ballgame as long as 60 yards in the first quarter. A minute 28 to go here in the first half from Earl Henry Stadium, Clearwater, Florida. This is Ned Garlane along with Larry McKinney for this playoff game. Here's the punt by Logan Buster as it angles out of bounds on the far sideline around the 5-10-yard line, and that's where the L.A. Tan will have it and put it into play when we return here from Dickman America playoffs for 2012.
Hey, friends, how you doing? This is Chris G. for Niedermeyer Sausage. You know, all through Whitefish Bay, all through Green Bay, all of the suburbs, Brown, New Berlin, Deer Valley, Deer Hunt, and Dear John, all the places that are near and dear to you in the Milwaukee area. You know something that Niedermeyer Sausages, I just, when I go into Niedermeyer's there in Milwaukee and also over in Calcutta and Catfish, I can tell you that I love to take that big, beautiful bear sausage they have. Sometimes they have that deer sausage, and I like to just gnaw on it. I'll sit there at a table in the window so people on the street can see me doing that. There's nothing like the Niedermeyer sausage. I've known the family for a long time. I'm very, very close to old man Niedermeyer, his daughter Cassie, his wife, Belinda, and, of course, all the kids. Niedermeyer sausage, boy, I tell you, I don't think there's anything better. I highly recommend it, and I hope that you do, too. And, of course, if you're asking who am I, Chris G., I'm a spokesperson that you should know about. If you don't, then you're not from Milwaukee, and then I don't really care whether they sell any sausage to you or not, because we've been making our living. And I say we. I say we, because I feel a part of the family. Niedermeyer sausage there in Milwaukee, and I'm starting to slur my words.
First down for the L.A. Tan. Ball at the 5-yard line. A minute 22 to go in the first half. It's a 3-3 tie. Elliott offset I formation. They're going left to right on the radio dial. But offset weak side formation. Wide receiver down to the near side. The give to Joe Calhoun. Calhoun with running room to the left side. Joe Calhoun across the 15-yard line to the 16-yard line. 10 carries, 46 yards. Larry McKinney.
Yeah, all good. Doesn't take much to do that math. 4.6 yards per carry. That's a very, very good way of carrying a football in this ball game, like we were saying. Joe Calhoun coming through.
I formation, second and inches, a minute 5 to go, and nobody calling timeout. Ball to the 21-yard line. The L.A. Tan with the tight end down to the far side. Two wide receivers. Long count by L.A. Here's the give to Joe Calhoun. He's got running room to the right side. He gets out across the 25 to, excuse me, out to across the 20-yard line to around the 23-yard line. First down and 10. 48 seconds to go. In motion out to the right side. Now goes Joe Calhoun. So he's got an empty backfield. Calhoun now moving over to the left side. Everybody shifting back over to the right side. Back to pass is Van Cavender. Van Cavender, the 18-yard line. Throw the ball well short. Picked off at the 40-yard line by Tampa. Picked off at the 40-yard line as they shifted into an empty backfield with Fermont Lee playing in the zone. Moving back toward Joe Calhoun. And the ball was thrown very, very short. Yeah, Van Cavender has 11 touchdown passes in the regular season, but 11 interceptions in the last football game the L.A. Tan played. The win over D.C., he got picked off twice. So it is a first down, single back. There goes Barry Weiss. Barry Weiss down close to the 30-yard line, around the 32-yard line. Timeout Tampa, 33 seconds remaining
in the first half on a turnover here by LA on the interception by Fermont Lee. Second down and seven, opposite eye formation to the right side, to the high side. They've got a tight end to the high side, two wide receivers, LA with three or four down linemen. Second down and seven, here's the run to the right side. It's Barry Weiss. Barry Weiss getting down close to the first down marker. Another timeout called by Tampa. That was a six-yard run by Barry Weiss. Ball down to the 26-yard line. Third down and inches to go. With 29 seconds, the clock stopped to go here in the first half from this Dickman America playoff game at Earl Henry Stadium, Clearwater, Florida. I formation for the Tampa Gator Bait. Got tight end down to the left side here, northeastern. There's a give it a delay to Barry Weiss. Weiss running right. Now turns it upfield to the 27-yard line, fourth down. Barry Weiss was looking for room as he ran parallel to the line of scrimmage. And he was being covered very well there by Seymour Crotch, Artemis Garvin, and then finally Goon Van Allen coming in and making the tackle. So he was stuck. And you can hear the fans. They don't like this at all. Well, and look, that was not a very smart piece of running there by Joe Callion. I don't know what he was doing. Boyd Weiss. The kick is no good by Salazar. This thing was a hook, and it never did straighten out. It hit the left upright. Yeah, hit the upright. Salazar wasn't able to straighten that out. But getting back to Barry Weiss, that run was like that just was terrible. As a quarterback, you don't like to see that because you're working your rear end off and everybody else is dogging it. First down and 10 with 19 seconds to go. The ball is at the 34-yard line. Back to pass is Van Cavener. He's in an empty backfield. He pumps. He throws back the other way. Incomplete pass. Throwing back to the far sideline was Van Cavener. Well, that was really interesting. It was the Roshon Sanchez who went downfield, turned it outside, then came back. And Fermont Lee, the cornerback, just stayed put, looking run all the way, looking a short pass all the way. Empty backfield, 14 seconds to go. The ball to the 35-yard line. Back to pass is Van Cavener. Throws the ball into the short zone over on the right side of the near side. Timeout L.A. Ball complete close to the 50-yard line, about the 46-yard line for the L.A. 10 at the 45-yard line. First and 10, 9 seconds remaining here in this half. Four wide receivers, two to the right, two to the left. Three down linemen for the Tampa Gator Bay. They are showing blitz on the right side, but they back off. Back to pass is Van Cavener for the 40-yard line. Throw the ball at the near sideline. It is caught. Caught. Touchdown, L.A. Eli Bashy for the touchdown. The ball caught around the 25-yard line. Fooled everybody here on the near sideline. Yeah, look at this, Eli Bashy, and it was Fermont Lee, number 20, or Luther Poodle, I should say, number 27, who went for the pickoff, and he was not able to get it. Well, the ball was cut at the 27-yard line as Luther Poodle leaped in the air to try to pick it off. He missed it. It went right into the midst there of Eli Bashy, and in for the touchdown he goes. So out comes Bliss Wintershek, the extra point. It's up. It's good. It's L.A. 10, Tampa 3 here in this Dickman America playoff game, the first ever for this 2012 season. Yeah, that was a 54-yard pass from Cavener to Eli Bashy, an acquisition from the Portland Logs. And, boy, not a minute too soon, either, I'd say about that. Eli Bashy, primary return man, and they gave up Flatman Gotis to get Eli Bashy, and Flatman Gotis, of course, has done great things for the Portland Logs. Here's the kickoff as we keep it here at Earl Henry Stadium, down to Eric Hooverman, who went across the 30, 45-yard line. There's the end of the first half of play. We'll be back here to Earl Henry Stadium. It's L.A. 10, Tampa 3 in this Dickman America playoff game.
Hey, wouldn't you love to enjoy yourself in a beautiful lodge at Thatha Lake? Well, this is Sam Thatha, and Thatha Lake has been in my family for a long time, and we love to have you this winter to enjoy the wonderland that is Thatha Lake. We fish for salmon, as well as all of the other kinds of game fish that we have at Thatha Lake, salmon and thockle. And, of course, we also have the great salmon thing that I, well, it was a salmon thing. That's what my wife makes.
Sasa Lake and the beautiful Sasa Lake Lodges, owned by the Sasa family.
That's me, Sam Thatha, and my wife, Sylvia. It's neat.
Sasa Lake, this winter.
Or next winter.
Hi, everyone. The Newcomb Group is very, very proud to be sponsoring this edition of Phil Henry Football League post-game action, the playoffs for 2012. And when you think about 2012, think about how well did you do this year financially. Did you do well? Well, you're not like me, because I invested with the Newcomb Group, but let's forget about me for a minute. You're like most other people, and most other people did very poorly as well, just like you. But I did well. You know why? Because I, that's right, invested with the Newcomb Group. What do they do? Well, they take your money, money that you don't know anything, you wouldn't know what to do with it if they gave you a roadmap, if they gave you Long John Silver's map to his buried doubloons, you wouldn't know what to do with it. And yet, the Newcomb Group trusts you enough to take your money from you and hand it to guys like me who are smart enough to invest in the Newcomb Group. The Newcomb Group. Whole new ways of thinking about money.
Back here at Earl Henry Stadium in Clearwater, Florida, this is Ben Garlean along with Larry McKinney as we take a look here at our halftime statistics. And, Larry, right now what we have is Van Caviter with a touchdown pass in this ball game. For Pete Hill, no scoring passes, 69 yards in terms of passing yardage, 111 for the L.A. Tan. Well, Van Caviter, I think, is he came into this game, I think, the better quarterback of the two of them. And if you take a look at the statistics for the L.A. Tan at the quarterback position, Van Caviter, 11 touchdown passes this year. Pete Hill had 10 touchdown passes, but guess what? 18 interceptions, and that ain't going to get it done. No, sir. Not where I come from. Not in any neighborhood that I've ever been in or any place that I would want to be, you know, seen. As far as the running backs go, you got Joe Callahan with 52 rushing yards. And, boy, you made a very good point in the first half, Larry, that Joe Callahan, who's not really been considered that strong of a running back in the first half of the season, he looked like he might do some great things. But the second half, he really slowed down an awful lot as the punishment and the reliance of the running game was beginning to show its signs on Joe Callahan. But, boy, in this playoff game, he's really picked up the slack. Boy, there's no question about that, Ned. Look at that, 52 rushing yards for Joe Callahan. I don't know how many 100-yard games he's had this season, but by goodness gracious, gosh, he may have one here in this game before long. Barry Weiss, on the other hand, for Tampa with 30 rushing yards. Not a terribly embarrassing display in this league, but not near what Joe Callahan's been able to do. Certainly picking up some big yardage there on the way to some first downs and this lead that L.A. enjoys here at the half. Rashawn Sanchez with two catches, 46 yards. The touchdown pass to Eli Bashy of 54 yards, his first catch of the ball game. And Eli Bashy primarily a return man on kickoffs, as we were talking about just before the half, acquired from Portland. Calvin Oskin with a catch for 11 yards and Wayne Lick with a catch for 39 yards for Tampa. Blocking, well, it's Curly Carlisle, along with Gip Kingston and Zach Oland. It is all L.A. on that offensive line. And then you finally get to Tango Carruthers of Tampa when we talk about the pancakes. Defensively, number one tackler on the field is Artemis Garvin, the strong safety for Los Angeles. Erstwhile Perkins and Fermont Lee, though, with Tampa also in the mix. The interception for Fermont Lee in this ball game, the only interception in the game. We've got one sack in this football game. That was Peterson Mugga, the big left end for the Tampa Gator bait. Yeah, and you know, L.A.'s Ed Loveme, who plays on a left end, he's been showing some, you know, he's been doing his thing in the recent weeks and showing real improvement over on a left end. But I got to tell you, you got to see a lot more coming out of what's his face, the guys that Ed Loveme. You got to see more coming out of Ed Loveme. You got to see more and more and more and more coming out of Ed Loveme. Well, let's take time out, and coming up, we have Brulee Hart, commissioner of the Phil Henry Football League, Dickman America. Brulee Hart will be with us, as we'll talk about these playoffs and the forthcoming Dickman Bowl. A very, very exciting afternoon of football coming up later on, as we said. Jack Igagg, along with Brett Morrison, and the second divisional playoff game here in Dickman America between the Utah Flaming Jazz, or Flaming Prophets. I was going to say the Utah Jazz, huh? I ain't heard nobody screw up that bad since I heard that guy for the Canadian Football League called the Montreal Alouettes, the Expos. All right, we'll be right back.
The Newcomb Group, proud to bring you this edition of the Phil Henry Football League Dickman America Game of the Week, the 2012 playoffs. And when it comes to your family's future, think of the Newcomb Group. Finances, portfolios, college scholarships, and of course your home mortgage, all is there, waiting for you in your dreams at the Newcomb Group. Once the economy crashes, well, don't worry about it right now. Newcomb Group.
That was Earl Henry Stadium, actually Clearwater, Florida. A very beautiful ballpark, an old ballpark. But they put a little bit of spit and polish on it. And a brand new, looks like a brand new paint job. And served very well this year for the Tampa Gator bait. With us is Brulee Hart, commissioner of the Phil Henry Football League Dickman America. Brulee, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Dad. You too, Larry. It's great to be here.
Say, Commissioner, just want to thank you so much. I played for Pacific Football League. I played for AFL Deuce when you was commissioner there, and you've done an awful lot for the professional game here in the United States of the America that we live in now. Now I want to ask you, what are the prospects? What are you doing different? What is you doing new, and everything?
Well, Larry, what we try to do with the Phil Henry Football League, like what we did with AFL Deuce, we try to make sure that we're well-financed. We don't want to expand too rapidly. And I'll tell you a little bit about expansion clubs here in a minute.
I want to ask you about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. But we didn't want to expand too rapidly. And we wanted to make sure that we... paid our players on time and paid them a decent. The other thing, too, is to have the developmental league, which we have now.
I want to ask you something, Commissioner, about the developmental. That's Hillbilly Developmental. Now, the league started out as the Phil Henry Hillbilly Conference. Why was it called that?
Because the teams, the franchises, the cities we was dealing with was going to be from very small markets to large markets, and we were not concentrating. We were not concentrating on being sophisticated, just in football, you know.
Now, can I ask you about the expansion teams?
What's that?
Can I ask you about expansion teams? Hold on for a minute.
You have to,
All right, we're being told, what? We're being told they need to let the commissioner go. Last question, right?
Yeah, because I have an appointment.
We can bring the booze in here.
No.
All right, we don't...
No, it's not about booze.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, whatever you say. I want to ask you about the expansion franchises, the San Diego Ape. And I know the San Diego Ape has Mondale Hewitt as the ownership, very good man. Have you settled on an ownership group in Atlanta?
We are looking at an ownership group that is headed up by Pastor William Reddick. He is a religious, he's a pastor. So he's used a lot of not-for-profit money, which we're not very comfortable with, but he says that he has private commercial monies that are available to him to take over the Atlanta franchise.
Now, wasn't the Atlanta franchise going to be awarded to a different entity before Pastor William Reddick got involved?
Well, it was going to be awarded to the group that had owned... I don't know.
Parmesan.
What's that?
Parmesan.
A Parmesan? Yeah, the Parmesan cheese the people that have that. You know the powdered Parmesan cheese?
I know the stuff you're talking about, yeah.
That family was going to buy, but maybe it was bullshit. I mean, excuse my language, I'm sorry. Maybe it wasn't true.
Well, we're going to let you go, Commissioner Brilly Hart here of Dickman America Football, Phil Henry Football League. We thank you very much for joining us, and, we're looking forward to the second game, too, as well.
Yeah, they wanted me as a stunt. They want me to get a plane to fly there for that, but I can't get across the country. Or could I?
Yeah,
you can. All right, well, I'm going to stay here, but I know that we're going to have a great game out west. This ball game is a great game, and they'll see you in Salt Lake City in a week.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It'll be a party, huh?
Oh, hey. Let me tell you, I don't even want to get into it.
All right, the commissioner of Dickman America, Brilly Hart, will be back with a kickoff for the second half here in just a moment.
Wild, sick, and funny-looking, the New York Times calls it one of the finest films ever made if we lived in another dimension. The LA Times says Wild, Sick, and Funny-Looking can be, should be, and will be at the very top of our list of films that we will say we liked but never saw. Wild, Sick, and Funny-Looking.
Now playing in a theater near you.
I was talking to a young lady the other day. We were sitting on a bus bench, just a bus bench waiting for a bus. And I said, what do you do for your financial future? And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, have you heard of the Newcomb Group? And she said, no, I haven't. Would you tell me a little bit about them? And I told her that the Newcomb Group was made for people like her, young people, young professional people that could really use a hand up in terms of their investment, where they're going in life, and what they want to do with the money that they invest. The Newcomb Group can do it for you just as it did for that young lady. Now, I know where you're going with this. You're thinking, I said to her something like, well, if you go on a date with me, I'll give you money. No, the Newcomb Group is a little bit different, okay? A little bit more special than that. We set her up in an apartment
We gave her a job to do, which she doesn't really have to get out of bed to do, and I'm sure you're following my meaning. Okay, the Newcomb Group.
The Newcomb Group, solely responsible for its own content.
And we start the second half of play, LA 10. And the Tampa Gator Bay 3. And we'll see if Tampa can get their offense on track here and see if Barry Weiss and, more to the point, Pete Hill can start racking up some yards. Both teams playing outstanding defense as they have all season long. Here's the kickoff going right to left is Tampa. The kickoff to the L.A. 10. Eli Bashi caught the touchdown pass just before the end of the half. Eli Bashi bringing it up the middle of the field. And Eli Bashi brings it out close to the 30-yard line. Fremont Lee on the tackle there on special teams. The ball at the 25-yard line. And
you're just guessing there. You're guessing there, Ned, didn't you?
Well, I was looking at something else, and I thought it said 30. First down and 10, ball offside eye formation. The ball is given to Pat Kaloon, the fullback, and he gets down to the 30-yard line. Nice little fullback trap play there to Pat Kaloon.
Yeah, Pat Kaloon, that's just kind of a fullback trap. Looked like you're going to the running back. Give it off there to that fullback, see what he can do.
Second down and 5, ball at the 30-yard line for the L.A. 10 as they lead this game 10-3, two wide receivers to the right side. Now here's the give on a delay to Joe Calhoun. Calhoun gets nothing to the 30-yard line. That's it.
Joe Calhoun with 52 rushing yards in this ball game so far. 30 yards for Barry Weiss. And like I said, it would be very ironic indeed if Joe Calhoun winds up having a lion's share here.
Now they have a single back offense, two wide receiver to the high side, tight end down to the low side, third down and 5, ball at the 30-yard line for the L.A. 10. Back to passes, Van Caviter. He steps up and down he goes, a big sack there. And I think it might have been Peterson Munga.
No, it was Erstwhile Perkins.
Erstwhile Perkins, the big defensive tackle, coming in from the left side and just threw Van Caviter to the turf. The big sack there for Tampa, and they force L.A. to punt the ball, and it's Toddler Odom coming in for that.
Don't forget Erstwhile Perkins, one of the best defensive tackles in this league. You can kiss that one and put that in an envelope.
On the return to the 35-yard line is Eric Hooverman, and that's where the Tampa Gator bait will put it into play. After the tackle there by Teddy Lehman. We'll be right back. This is Dickman America. The first round of the playoffs here for 2012, LA 10, Tampa 3.
Hey, wouldn't you love to enjoy yourself in a beautiful lodge at Thatha Lake? Well, this is Sam Thatha, and Thatha Lake has been in my family for a long time, and we love to have you this winter to enjoy the wonderland that is Thatha Lake. We fish for salmon, as well as all of the other kinds of game fish that we have at Thatha Lake, salmon and sockle, and of course, we also have the great salmon thing that I, well, it was a salmon thing. That's what my wife makes.
Sasa Lake and the beautiful Sasa Lake Lodges, owned by the Sasa family.
That's me, Sam Thotha, and my wife, Sylvia. It's neat.
Sasa Lake, this winter.
Or next winter.
Back here at Earl Henry Stadium, ball at the 35-yard line. Tampa with the ball. In tight on the right side goes their wide receiver, Ariba Michelson. Here is the give to the running back, Barry Weiss. Weiss down to the 40. Weiss to the 45. Close to a first down to the 46-yard line before he is tackled by Hector Glimmer, and it is, as we mentioned, imperative that Barry Weiss gets his game on track to loosen up that passing game as well for Pete Hill. Second down and inches, 46-yard line. Tampa coming out, I formation, two wide receivers to the near side. Down most over the right side goes Mo Irving. LA with four down linemen. They're in a 4-3 defense. That's what they've played all season long, as does Tampa. On the delay, there goes Barry Weiss. Weiss with a first down across the 50-yard line. Down in L.A. territory at the 47-yard line. So Barry Weiss, 44 rushing yards now.
Yeah, Barry Weiss has got to get it cranked up. Now, here's where you might see Pete Hill do a little razzle-dazzle.
47-yard line, first and 10, two wide receivers up the high side, tight end down to the low side, I formation. Here's the give again to Barry Weiss, and Weiss is stopped cold by Coach Lanier right at the line of scrimmage for no gain.
Well, Coach Lanier, you know that before the Dickman Bowl, we're going to have Defensive Player of the Year, Most Valuable Player. I mean, you know, a lot of people think they know who's going to win what, but my vote for Defensive Player of the Year, that man right there, Coach Lanier, number 54.
Two wide receivers to the high side. Now in the zone is the L.A. 10 as they've got defensive backs spread on the field. Four down linemen, a nickel package running wide to the high side is Barry Weiss. Down he goes, shy of the 50-yard line, so they lost a big load of ground there on that play, and coming in is Big Ed Loveme, number 99, the left end.
I'm not impressed at all by Keith Colooney or any of the offensive linemen supposed to pull on that play. He's supposed to get out in front of that running back. Boy, didn't do that, not at all.
Ball now at the 48-yard line, back in Tampa territory. Third down, back to pass. Pete Hill standing at the 44-yard line, throwing the ball down the far sideline. Oh, incomplete, wide open there for a moment. Well, it's number 83, Ariba Michelson, back on the coverage with Coach Lanier and Artemis Garvin. Well, yeah, it looked like Ariba Michelson had to slow up just a hair to come back for that ball. That's what killed it right there. That's what done it in. Pete Hill needed to get a little more air under that ball, and Michelson would have had that. That would have been seven. Boy, there's the difference between the two quarterbacks right there. I don't mean to criticize him or nothing. Here's the punt by Logan Buster. He's going to go into the end zone, bounding into the end zone. Touchback. A touchback. And so L.A. will come out with the ball to the 20-yard line when we come back. The score, the L.A. Tan 10, Tampa Gator Bay 3, here in this divisional playoff game for 2012.
The Newcomb Group,
Ned Garvin,
proud to bring you this edition of the Phil Hendry Football League Dickman America Game of the Week, the 2012 playoffs. And when it comes to your family's future, think of the Newcomb Group. Finances, portfolios, college scholarships, and, of course, your home mortgage. All is there, waiting for you in your dreams at the Newcomb Group. Once the economy crashes, well, don't worry about it right now. Newcomb Group.
Please make it stop. Please don't do it anymore. Make it stop.
Would you make it stop? Don't play that. Don't do that. Please don't play it. Just stop the music, please.
But they didn't stop the music. Hans, rated R.
Now showing at a theater near you.
Please make it stop. Why don't you do that? What's wrong?
Along with Larry McKinney here from Earl Henry Stadium in Clearwater, Florida. This is the 2012 Divisional Playoffs. L.A. and Tampa. Play fake by Van Caviter, standing the 15-yard line, throwing the ball down to the near sideline, deep into L.A. territory, and it is, or rather, Tampa territory, picked off by Tampa. It is Luther Poodle. Luther Poodle working against Calvin Oskerden down around the 30-yard line, picking the ball off. The tackle made by Oskerden. Big turnover there. Now the ball is at the 39-yard line. That's where it's spotted. Big turnover there, and a big mistake by L.A.
Well, that's the God's honest truth, I tell you. Tell you true, that was a bad pick to throw because now Tampa got the ball right back in their midst now.
In the shotgun formation is Tampa, the ball to the 40-yard line. Pete Hill throwing the ball over the far sideline, completes the pass there to number 84. Mo Irving into L.A. territory at the 38-yard line, spinning away from people. First down, Tampa.
Yeah, that's a great play there. Just a very, very quick little slant pattern. He hits Mo Irving. The L.A. defensive backs are taken aback. They're all just all, wow, what? Who threw that? Johnny Unitas? Next thing you know, first down.
Ball at the 40-yard line, throwing the ball to the near sideline. Wide open down there at the 15-yard line is Norris Yeaston. The tight end tackle made by Seymour Crotch. He's really upset with himself.
Everybody looking high side, high side, high side. Then coming down here on the low side is the tight end. And Norris Yeaston, man, he got downfield lickety-split, I'll tell you that.
5 of 12, 115 yards for Pete Hill. The ball at the 15-yard line. Tampa on the doorstep. Here's the run by Barry Weiss. Weiss hurtling people down to the 12-yard line. It was a very impressive piece of running, but it only got about 3 yards on the play. Making the tackle was big number 96, Fante Watson.
That's a big dude there, Fante Watson. He didn't look happy either. He don't like being in this position. All of a sudden, Tampa's knocking on the door here.
Ball at the 13-yard line. There's a give to the running back, Barry Weiss. A handoff, because it looked almost as if it was going to a play fake or a delay, and Weiss gets down to the 9-yard line. A pickup of 4 yards on the play, the ball at the 9-yard line, third down and 4 for the Tampa Gator Bay. They're down 10-3 in this ballgame. A minute nine left of the third quarter of this divisional playoff game for Dickman America. The Dickman Bowl next week in Salt Lake City. The Beaver Dome back to pass at the 15-yard line, rather. Touchdown to Tampa, hitting at the goal line, Wayne Lick. The wide receiver, he cut it in and then back to the outside, and he left Eric Mina in the dust.
You got that right, man. Look at all those weird-looking Gator Bait fans in the end zone there wearing all that green, and they've got on that yellow. They're weird-looking people, ain't they?
Tampa Gator Bait wear those the green and the gold, gold helmets with the gator green and striped socks. The ball is up by Salazar. It's good, the extra point, and Tampa has tied this ball game up on the pass play from Pete Hill to Wayne Lick, 8 yards, as Lick put a big move on Hector Glimmer. going inside, then cutting it back to the outside, catching the pass at the goal line and tying this game up. We'll be back. It's Tampa 10, LA 10, Dickman America playoffs for 2012.
Hey, friends, how you doing? This is Chris G for Niedermeyer Sausage. You know, all through Whitefish Bay, all through Green Bay, all of the suburbs, Brown, New Berlin, Deer Valley, Deer Hunt, and Deer John, all the places that are near and dear to you in the Milwaukee area. You know something that Niedermeyer Sausage is? When I go into Niedermeyer's there in Milwaukee and also over in Calcutta and Catfish, I can tell you that I love to take that big, beautiful bear sausage they have. Sometimes they have that deer sausage, and I like to just gnaw on it. I'll sit there at a table in the window so people on the street can see me doing that. There's nothing like the Niedermeyer sausage. I've known the family for a long time. I'm very, very close to old man Niedermeyer, his daughter Cassie, his wife Belinda, and, of course, all the kids. Niedermeyer sausage, boy, I tell you, I don't think there's anything better. I highly recommend it. And I hope that you do, too. And, of course, if you're asking who am I, Chris G., I'm a spokesperson that you should know about. If you don't, then you're not from Milwaukee. And then I don't really care whether they sell any sausage to you or not. Because we've been making our living. And I say we. I say we. Because I feel a part of the family. Need my sausage there in Milwaukee. And I'm starting to slur my words.
To go here in the third quarter. It is tied up. Tampa on the touchdown pass to Wayne Leck on a great drive by the Gator bait using the pass and the run as Barry Weiss getting into the game. Here is now Eli Bosshe on the return. Eli Bosshe, 35-40, 45-50. Eli Bosshe in the clear down to the 30, 35-20, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown LA on the kickoff return by Eli Bosshe. How about that? Well, oh, man, the Tampa Gator bait fans is booing, everybody booing. All except the LA Tan fans is happy because Eli Bosshe just... He got through a whole herd of blockers down around, and now Eli Bosshe is kind of taunting the fans in the end zone, in the end zone seats. That's not cool. That ain't no good. Well, Eli Bosshe got through, as you said, a herd of tacklers down around the 30-yard line, and then he was in the open and in the clear and outran everybody to the end zone. Well, the closest guy was Fatso Berry on a tackle, but I'll tell you, the blocks were thrown. Mutch Percy threw a block, and David O'Boy down around the 30-yard line on two key blocks that sort of jammed up all the L.A. pursuers Tampa pursuers, and that's all that L.A. needed. Extra point's good. Extra point is good. We'll keep it here because my partner talked too much. No, I didn't. I did not. Well, all right, but that's... But they're telling me. Anyway, 17-10. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm usually very... 17-10. Here comes Tampa with the ball to the 25-yard line. Tampa breaking tackles as Eric Hooverman to the 34. Well, no, up to the 28-yard line goes Eric Hooverman. And it's a first down to the Tampa Gator Bait. That's what they told me in the headset, Larry. You know, I don't... I know that. They said you talk too much, so they... Anyway, the ball at the 28-yard line. First down for Tampa. Offset eye formation. Tampa going right to left on the radio dial. L.A. showing a blitz on the high side. Two wide receivers down to the low side here. Here's the give to Barry Weiss. He starts out right. He comes back left. Gets maybe 2 yards on the play. Across the 30-yard line or the 32-yard line, where it is a second down for the Tampa Gator Bait. Second down and 7. 32 seconds and counting left in this third quarter. I feel bad about saying to you what I just said to you. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's all right. I understand that... Now running left on the counter play. It's Barry Weiss, 40-yard line, 45-yard line, 46-yard line. Again, that counter play going to the left, working like a charm. And it was working, of course, beautifully for the L.A. Tan and now for the Tampa Gator Bait. Getting back to what you were saying, that's okay. No, I understand. I got frustrated, and I shouldn't have. 17-10 LA leading here over Tampa in this Dickman America playoff game. Running to the left side, or the right side rather, goes Barry Weiss to the 49-yard line, close to the midfield stripe, where Ed Loveme makes the tackle. We'll be back. That's the end of the third quarter. It is LA 17, Tampa 10 here from Earl Henry Stadium.
Oh, I'm just so sorry.
You're lucky if you're Lily. You're lucky if you're me. You're lucky if you're Lily. Lily Chevrolet. Hey, this is Cat Lily, everybody, and I'll tell you, Lily Chevrolet has been doing it for a long time. Lucky to be me, lucky to be alive, and lucky to be selling Chevrolets at Lucky Lily. If you come to Lucky Lily Chevrolet right now, right this very moment, we won't be open. I'm kidding. No, we're open. We're open all day tonight, all night tomorrow day, all day tomorrow day, all night tonight, as well as all day, every day, no matter what the day is.
Closed on Christmas? You gotta be kidding. At Lucky Lily Chevrolet, we're open on Christmas, open on New Year's, the most sacred day you could possibly think of. Think of a day when we shouldn't be working. I know. I've got a lot of Jewish salesmen. They're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Neither are a lot of my very, very conservative Christian salespeople. Well, guess what? They don't work on the Sabbath. They don't eat because they don't have a job. They get fired. That's how much I care about you. Oh, you're lucky if you're Lily. You're lucky if you're me. You're lucky if you're Lily. Lily Chevrolet.
Lily Chevrolet. Downtown. All around town.
It's okay, Ned. Come on, the game. Welcome back, folks, here at Earl Henry Stadium, 48-yard line, second down and seven. The Tampa Gator Bay with the ball, second and seven. They have two wide receivers put to the high side. Now running to the right side goes Barry Weiss. He's cut down and tackled around the 48-yard line. Ed Loveme on the tackle, and now Ed Loveme is injured, holding an elbow as he is being escorted off the field there by the L.A. trainers coming out very quickly to take care of Ed Loveme.
Well, take a look here on a replay, see if we can see what happened to old Ed Loveme as the tackle was made here. Tampa Gator Bates' Barry Weiss is coming in on that play, but Ed Loveme did kind of a diving tackle, almost like a if you was going to be chop blocking somebody or something. And man, that's got to hurt. That's got to sting. I'm not taking a look at what happened to him on that play. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
All right, so that brings up here on this particular down, a third, the ball to the 49-yard line. And third down, and looks to be about 6-7 yards to go for Tampa. Here's the play fake by Pete Hill, rolling to the left side. He throws to the high side, out of bounds. The pass complete, but out of bounds to Wayne Lick, and it'll be a fourth down. You can hear the fans wanting to go for it. Not going to happen.
No, you can't be going for it now, but as a quarterback, I never like to hear the fans trying to tell me how to live my life and do the things what I got to do. I hated it so very much.
They're going for it on fourth down. It's Barry Weiss running with the ball up the middle, and I thought for sure they'd come in with a punt.
I know, we missed that one. We missed it bad.
Well, I thought for sure they'd come in with a punt, and they don't. And they don't make the first down as Barry Weiss runs into a traffic jam up the middle, and L.A. has the ball now at their own 47-yard line.
Boy, that was dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Running the ball to the right side. Joe Calhoun gets across the 50. Penalty now on Tampa as Garfner grabbed the face mask, the big right end. Ty Garfner, acquired from the D.C. Federal Brigade earlier this year with a face mask on Joe Calhoun. And now is Tampa losing their cool?
How about I tell you, the fans are unhappy. Tampa not making it on that play is that's, you know, we'll see what happens.
Now splitting wide to the right on the motion out to the right side of the flat. There goes the tight end, Mutch Percy. The run to Joe Calhoun. Looks like it's, I don't know whether he got the first down or not. Let's take a look here. It is a first down and 10, yes. The ball at the 43-yard line. 4:23 to go in this ball game. L.A. taking over on downs as Tampa doesn't make it. Going for it on fourth down to the running play to Barry Weiss. And I know I've called him Boyd a few times.
Well, that's a mistake everybody makes.
Joe Calhoun running the ball, gets it out to the 40-yard line, close to the 39-yard line. And now the time is on L.A.'s side as the clock ticking down. Tampa needs to get the ball back, and they need a touchdown. L.A. and Tampa were knotted up at 10, but then it was the running back. It was L.A.'s Eli Bashi running for a touchdown on the kickoff return. Now back to pass, looking. It's Van Caviter pumping. He's got all the time in the world, and now he's hit at the 45-yard line and drop incomplete passes. The ball is out of his mitts momentarily. Yeah, Eli Bashi going to turn into the man of the hour in this football team. As Eli Bashi catches the touchdown pass, he runs the kickoff return for the touchdown, too. Eli Bashi, the third man on that depth chart, back to pass, standing the midfield stripe, throwing the ball to the far sideline, and up and down he goes. Double covered is Calvin, or either Eli Bashi, I should say, as he was double covered over there by Bradley Searsucker and Marvell Gutsy around the 5-yard line. Incomplete pass, so Toddler Odom now will come in to punt the ball. And with 3:48 to go, Tampa will get it back. Good defensive stand there by Tampa. Here's the punt by Toddler Odom. High punt coming down to the near sideline and then bounding into the end zone touchback. That was not a bad kick.
Looked like maybe old Toddler was gonna, you know, pin that thing at the 1-yard line.
We'll be back. It's LA 17, Tampa 10 here in this Dickman America playoff game for 2012.
Yul Bilton has been helping you and people like you for over 61 years with your financial planning. And with any luck, and with good action from the United States Congress, Yul Bilton will be in business for another 61 years. It does our heart good to know that Yul Bilton, Yul Bilton subsidiaries, and Yul Bilton Blue and Green will be here long after you're gone and we're gone. Yul Bilton will live on, not with people, but as an independent operating computer system with its own brain. Think of it. Don't be afraid. Please, just think of it. Open your mind to the possibilities.
Please don't make me... Just...
Yeah, lock him up.
No, please, please. The super brain, the super brain.
Yul Bilton, the super brain, lives on.
Back at Earl Henry Stadium, it is Ned Garlino along with Larry McKinney. Tampa with the ball at the 20-yard line. They're down by 7. Throwing the ball over the middle and completing the pass to the 28-yard line is Pete Hill. The pass is complete to number 87, Wayne Lick. Ray Carbo making the tackle there. Ray Carbo, another player that was activated for a start in this football game, like Mo Irving on the L.A. side. Ray Carbo, a defensive back, 17-10. The ball, the 28-yard line. Play fake by Wayne, or by Pete Hill, throwing the ball downfield on the far sideline. Hits caught at the 35-yard line. First down, 35-yard line, L.A. territory. It was Pete Hill working on the play fake, rolling to the left side, completes the pass to Wayne Lick as Lick, wide open, beats Ray Carbo on the play.
Yeah, you're just talking about Ray Carbo getting activated, and he got beat bad on that play, I'll tell you that. Not bad, but he turned just at the last second. Wayne Lick turned a little sooner and got the ball.
Here's the give to Barry Weiss, running right. Barry Weiss across the 35 to the 30-yard line. Barry Weiss, big run there. Tackle made by Eric Mina. Pickup of 6 yards on the play, the ball to the 30-yard line. Second down and 3. It is Barry Weiss. Now taking over the rushing lead in this game with 72 yards over Joe Calhoun. Here's the give to Weiss, and he gets hit in the backfield to the 34-yard line for a loss on the play. A loss on a play. Number 96 for the L.A. 10. That is Fante Watson making the tackle. Third down now. Ball at the 32-yard line. Empty backfield for the Tampa Gator Bay. Short drop. Throwing the ball into the flat. Incomplete pass. Great, great play there by Ed Loveme back in the game at left end as he went over there and batted down the ball intended for Norris Easton. Boy, that's a great play by Big Ed. Ed was injured. Now look at us here. Tampa going for it again. Fourth down and 5. The ball at the 31-yard line in L.A. territory. Tampa going for it out of the shotgun. 2:31 left in this football game. They're down by 7. Back to pass from his own 40-yard line. Throwing the ball in the flat to Barry Weiss. Weiss, now he's at the first down. Down to the 20-yard line. Barry Weiss was out in the halfback flat there with nobody around him. It was almost like a screen pass, except I didn't see any offensive linemen near him either.
No, that ball was just thrown in the flat. Man, there was nobody there, well behind the line of scrimmage. And he picked up 11 yards on that play, Ned.
Great call by L.A., 10 of 18 and a touchdown for Pete Hill in this ball game. 20-yard line. They get the first down out of it, out of that fourth down. Here is the run to the left side as Barry Weiss, the 20, down to the 15-yard line, down to the 10-yard line, down to the 9-yard line for the Tampa Gator Bay, Barry Weiss.
Boy, what a great bunch of blocking over there, too. Look at these guys coming out of that. Keith Coluni coming out on that play. Wayne Lick making a downfield block on that play. And Barry Weiss, we were talking about how it was going to be Joe Calhoun's game in the first half. Guess what? I don't think so at all.
Right now, Barry Weiss has retaken the rushing lead in this ball game. He never had it, but has taken over the rushing lead in this ball game. And he has 81 rushing yards thus far in the ball game for the Tampa Gator Bay. They're down by 7, the ball to the 9-yard line. 2 minutes to go. That was the 2-minute warning, by the way. First and goal, throwing the ball into the flat again to Barry Weiss. Nope, that was to number 25, Tango Crothers. And it's a touchdown for Tampa. A touchdown for Tampa as Pete Hill tosses the ball out to Tango Crothers at the 10 to the 5 and in for the score. Tango Crothers, the big fullback for the Tampa Gator Bay, scoring on another pass play to a running back.
Well, you know what? Tango Crothers is not used near as much as he should. They started using him in the second half of the season. We've seen him last couple of games of the season doing very, very well. Not only as a blocking back, but also as a pass receiving back. And boy, did he pay dividends there.
So they go for it on fourth down. They make it. The pass to the fullback, Tango Crothers, is a touchdown. Thrown to the 5-yard line. Crothers just strolled into the end zone. And this ball game is tied up 17-17 from Earl Henry Stadium, the Dickman America Playoffs. Fans love
Jerry Sanzibar for Sanzibar's Blood and Guts Little Girl Fashions. See, what we do at Blood and Guts Little Girl Fashions is we put your child into a decent little girl's dress. We do her hair like she's a little girl and give her little tiny shoes that little girls wear, and she does little girl stuff. We do not sexualize these children or make them look like they're strippers in a bar to fulfill some sick, twisted adult's fantasy as to what a sexy little girl looks like. What is that about, anyway? So come to Sanzibar's Blood and Guts Little Girls Fashions. All right, now we get to the part, why is it called Blood and Guts? Because if we find any adults anywhere near our establishment or in our establishment or within, say, 100 yards of our establishment that want to dress a little girl in a bathing suit or a two-piece or maybe hot pants or have her do some kind of a bump and grind, the guts and the blood just flows. It flows like water. It flows like a river. Oh, yeah.
Blood and Guts Little Girl Fashions in the Corkland Mall. We got coming up after this one. It is the Utah Flaming Cavalry, the Portland Logs, in the second divisional playoff game of the day from Portland's Blitherton Field with Jack Eichanger and Brett Morrison. Here's the kickoff, and it goes out of bounds by Tampa. The kick by Mike Salazar sailing out of bounds around the 30-yard line. That is a procedure penalty, and now look at this. L.A. with the ball at the 45-yard line in Tampa territory. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's about as rotten a kick as I've ever seen. And you just can't do that, man. Salazar's been bad off the tee this year. He's not much more than 60% on field goals. Now running in motion, and down he goes at the 50-yard line is Van Cavender. Coming in on that pass play from the left-hand side was Peterson Mugga as the offensive line pulled out back to pass with two wide receivers to the high side. The ball at the 45-yard line completes the pass to the 30 to the 25-yard line. Rashawn Sanchez with a first down. My goodness. That's just very resourceful play by the L.A. Tan coming off a blitz and a sack to come back. They call an audible at the line in the hurry-up offense. Boom, there's Sanchez, first down. Ball at the 20-yard line, the I formation. There goes Joe Calhoun. Calhoun trying to run right. No room at all. The ball down at the 25-yard line. And the tackle is made over there again by Peterson Mugga. Ersto and Bradley Searsucker also in on the tackle. Second down and 10. What a football game. That's just when you think one team is down, the other one comes back. And on that pass play there to Tango Carruthers on a great drive after the interception by Fermont Lee by the Tampa Gator Bay ties this game up. There goes Joe Calhoun to the 25, to the 20-yard line. Joe Calhoun with room to move at the 16-yard line. Finally tackled is Joe Calhoun. And it was Marvell Gutsy and Luther Poodle having to come over and make that play. Look at this, man. Just everybody, I think, in this football game offensively getting into the act. The quarterback's making some pivotal plays. The running back's making some big plays. Defense is doing it. Here's the run now to number 34, Joe Calhoun, down to the 10-yard line. And again, Calhoun just gutting it out there. Both offensive lines, I think, acquitting themselves well in this game. Although I would say Tampa has sacked Van Cavender three times in this football game. Yeah, well, they have, but guess what? Van Cavender got right back up from that last sack. They got a first down. Second down and 5. The ball at the 10-yard line. I formation for L.A. Two wide receivers, right and left. There's the give to Pat Kaloon, the fullback, to the 3-yard line. Kaloon on another fullback dive play. It is erstwhile Perkins with a tackle, but guess what? Pat Kaloon picks up 9 yards down to the 2. First and goal for L.A. Boy, Pat Kaloon just comes out of no place. Pat Kaloon comes out of the balloon. Not blue, but balloon. Yeah, first down and 10. Here is Joe Calhoun. Touchdown from the left side. Touchdown, L.A. From the 2-yard line, Calhoun. Everybody just blowing that line of scrimmage wide open on the left side of the line for the L.A. 10. That was almost too impressive in a playoff game. Well, I think what you had there, though, was everyone looking play fake by the Tampa Gator Bay. Look at the L.A. bench is going ape crap. L.A. bench is going ape crap. Man, everyone just loving it, but there's some time left in this football game. There definitely is time left in the game, if we know anything about this league. You got some time left on the clock, and anything can happen. A minute, 2. Here's the extra point kick now by Bliss Wintershack as L.A. takes the lead on the Joe Calhoun kickoff, the Joe Calhoun touchdown. It is L.A. 24, Tampa 17. We'll be back here from Earl Henry Stadium in this Dickman America playoff game.
Joe Gonad lemonade.
made. It's the lemonade he made before he went in the booby hatch. He made up quite a batch. Yes, Joe Gonad Lemonade is the finest lemonade ever made by someone who is a borderline psychotic sociopath. An individual so sadistic, we don't even know where the bodies are buried because we haven't even begun thinking about it yet. We took one look at him and said, yes, he's killed, but let's not go there right now because this lemonade is so good. A Joe Gonad Lemonade, it's the lemonade he made before he flipped his lid. He made up quite a bit. Joe Gonad Lemonade.
I'm Joe Gonad. You can have some.
Sure. Joe Gonad Lemonade, available now at all Percival Brothers and Old Lady Lambstock Lingerie.
Wild, sick, and funny looking, the New York Times calls it one of the finest films ever made if we lived in another dimension. The LA Times says Wild, Sick, and Funny Looking can be, should be, and will be at the very top of our list of films that we will say we liked but never saw. Wild, Sick, and Funny Looking.
Now playing in a theater near you.
Back here at Earl Henry Stadium, a one-yard run by Joe Kaline. It was a 23-yard pass play to Roshan Sanchez to pick up that big first down after the sack. And LA now with a 24-17 lead, 1 minute and 2 seconds away from going to the Dickman Bowl in Salt Lake City. Tampa will have the ball here on this kickoff. Down around the goal line is Eric Hooverman. Hooverman takes it to the 1, down to the 10, 15. Hooverman to the 20-yard line. Hooverman getting getting arm tackled and almost breaks away from it. Then finally he's brought down. Al Shimrak trying to arm tackle Eric Hooverman. That wasn't working out too good for him. No, that was not working out too good, but and Hooverman, if he would have got loose, might have gotten a few more yards, but he was in traffic anyway. First down and 10, shotgun formation. The ball at the 25-yard line. Tampa throwing the ball to the far sideline. It is incomplete. Throwing the ball down the far side was Pete Hill, trying to get the ball to Wayne Lick, but Ray Carbo was right there. Ray Carbo's had his hands full. The L.A. defensive backs of Eric Mina and Hector Glimmer, they're kind of doing a little juggling act there now with Ray Carbo and Malaka Jones. They move Ray Carbo up, and he's had his hands full today. I formation, ball to 35, 25-yard line, throwing short down around the 30-yard line, completing the pass there to Norris Easton, the big tight end. It's a third down. 46 seconds to go in the football game. In the shotgun, ball at the 31-yard line for the Tampa Gator Bay. Throwing the ball over the middle of the field, completes the pass to the 48-yard line. First down, Mo Irving. Tackle made over there by Eric Mina. First and 10 for Tampa, though, at the 48-yard line. They are in a split-back offense now. Fake spike by Pete Hill. Throwing over the middle. It's picked off. The ball is picked off at the 45-yard line in Tampa territory by L.A., and it is Ray Carbo as he was going for Wayne Lick. Was Pete Hill thinking that Lick was getting a step this afternoon on Carbo, and he might have been. But on that particular play, Ray Carbo wasn't fooled at all. And so that move by T.J. Bunn, moving Ray Carbo ahead of Eric Mina, paying off. That's exactly what happened as T.J. Bunn wanted a little bit more speed. He wanted a little bit more, just a little bit more speed, a little bit more hitting in that side of the field. And they put Ray Carbo in there. And boy, I'll tell you what, could it pay off any better than that? And so L.A. kneeling on the ball will go to the Dickman Bowl next week in Salt Lake City against either Utah or Portland. That game coming up right after this one. It'll be at Blitherton Field in Portland, Utah and Portland. And boy, what a ball game we had here this afternoon at Earl Henry Stadium. Stay tuned, of course, for our post game following immediately. There's the end of the game. L.A. 24, Tampa 17. L.A. to the Dickman Bowl and Tampa to think about this one for a good long while. We'll see you at the postgame in just a minute. Ned Garlino along with Larry McKinney.
Please make it stop. Please, please don't do it anymore. Make it stop. Would you make it stop? Don't play that. Don't do that. Please don't play it anymore. Just stop.
Just stop the music, please.
But they didn't stop the music. Hans, rated R.
Now showing at a theater near you.
Please make it stop. Why don't you do that? What's wrong?
The Newcomb Group, proud to bring you this edition of the Phil Henry Football League Dickman America Game of the Week, the 2012 playoffs. And when it comes to your family's future, think of the Newcomb Group. Finances, portfolios, college scholarships, and, of course, your home mortgage. All is there, waiting for you in your dreams at the Newcomb Group. Once the economy crashes,
Well, don't worry about it right now. Newcomb Group.
This post-game report has been brought to you by the Newcomb Group.
Hey, we'll see you in a post-game.
This post-game report. This post-game report has been brought to you by the Newcomb Group. When it comes to money, finance, cars, travel, school scholarships, tuition, or just the necessities around the house, the Newcomb Group. What we do with your money.
Well, welcome.
You won't believe.
Welcome back, everybody, here to Earl Henry Stadium. This is Ned Garlean along with Larry McKinney and the LA Tan defeating the Tampa Gatorbait. They head now to the Dickman Bowl 1 week from today in Salt Lake City against the winner later on this evening of Utah and Portland. And I'll tell you, Larry, it was a football game that turned. Of course, the interception at the end was a real heartbreaker for the Tampa Gatorbait by Ray Carbo. But the football game really turned on the resourcefulness, I think, of the L.A. offense as well as their defense.
Well, and one of the things to point out in this ball game, I think Tampa sacked the quarterback three, maybe four times. I know that Peterson Mugga had two sacks. Erstwhile Perkins had a sack in a ball game. L.A. never got to Pete L. at all. Not one time did that offensive line for the Tampa Gatorbait give up a sack on Pete L. But what happened was that Van Kavener was able to read an all-out blitz when that was coming. He was able to see that pressure, where it was coming from, was able to find those receivers, especially on play fakes, where he hit Rashawn Sanchez on a couple of key plays. And overall, was just, I think, able to respond to the pressure that Tampa was bringing.
Now, we're going to go to the locker rooms because we have some post-game comments from both head coaches, and we'll head down to the locker room of the Tampa Gatorbait. Right now, they have Darren Duckford, and let's listen in.
Yeah, that was not my feeling in the football game, but I wanted to see us do a little bit better. I think we started to run the football well, but I think we started running the football well a little bit too late in the game.
What do you attribute the fact you sacked the quarterback as many times you did?
I think they had a good performance out of their quarterback today. I didn't see the numbers or anything. I know Pete played a great game for us. Their quarterback, I think, threw a couple of picks, but they had some key plays when they needed them. And, of course, the big thing, I think, with our special teams was got beat on a one kickoff return, you know. And that guy, he had a good game. I'm proud of our football team. We had a little tough sledding, I think, in our division, you know. I'm proud of our team. I think we'll be back.
Are you going to stay with Pete Hill?
Yeah, we'll stay with Pete. I think he's going to get better as a quarterback, you know.
All right, well, those are some of the comments there from Darren Duckford. Now we'll head down to the L.A. Locker room. Larry, you have any comments?
Well, I think, that's a very good point about Eli Bashir returning a kickoff for a touchdown. That was a difference in the football game, get right down to it. And, of course, Eli Bashir had the touchdown catch from Van Kavener. So I think that, you get one player who contributes the way that he did today. That's also a big difference in the football game. But, again, the heavy pressure the Tampa was bringing on Van Kavener didn't make much difference at all.
All right, we'll go to the locker room now. The winning football team, the L.A. Tan, and here is T.J. Bunn.
First thing I'd like to say is that football team has overcome an awful lot of adversity this year. Change in quarterbacks, of course, is just one of a few things that happened. I know that we made some decisions prior to this game. I think our football team has responded very well. We're very proud of them. And I think that the other thing I want to say is the injury report is negligible. I think one or two people asked us about Ed Loveme, 99. Yeah, he's fine. It was, I think it was a dislocated rib or something, but I think he got a shot of cortisone, so he's going to be okay. Just wanted to also say my hat's off to our opposing ball club, Tampa. I think they played a great game. Thank you for being great hosts to us. And, it could have gone either way. Think of Eli Bashian in his football game.
Yeah, he had a good game. I think everybody contributed, and I want to also point out, you know, Joe had a good football game. I think he got a lot of heat from the media coming into this that, you know, he's one of the lower rung running backs or something. I forget what was written about him, but let me tell you something. He gave as good as he got in this one, so I'm very happy with his performance. I want to look just and see the numbers here. You know, Joe had a rushing touchdown. He had 74 yards. So, you know, he and Eli both. And then, you know, I think Vanny threw a couple of interceptions there that could have been costly, but we came back. We responded on defense, particularly with Ray, who I'm very, very happy to see had a key interception there at the end of the game, you know.
So, Coach, are you going to keep the same personnel there and where they are right now?
For next week, yeah. Yeah, we're going to keep Ray in the top three of the corners, and everything else remains the same, no question about it.
What about the pressure that they brought on Van Camber and the fact you didn't sack Pete Ellis one time in the game?
Right. They did a very good job of protecting the quarterback. Very good job. And we're going to have to definitely work on that because I don't know who we're going to play next week, but either one of the teams that are playing later on, you know, have got very good quarterbacks. Top two quarterbacks in the league, as far as I know, statistically, and both of them are going to, they got very, very resourceful players. They got players that offensively they can give the ball to in a short game or a long game. Both teams have very good running backs. Just as an example of what I'm talking about. So, you know, we'll see.
And so there is the head coach T.J. Bunn of the L.A. Tan as he looks ahead to next week's Dickman Bowl in Salt Lake City. And that, the opponent to the L.A. Tan, will be decided later on this evening. Just a little while as the Utah takes on Portland from Blitheden Field in Portland, Oregon. Larry McKinney, your final thoughts.
Well, I just want to thank the Phil Henry Football League for giving us an opportunity to call these games, the color commentaries, and everything that we did do. And I want to thank you, Ned, for everything. And
well, it's my pleasure.
And I hope that I come back next year. And, you know, and that and another thing is I'm going to be on the sidelines next week.
That's right. Larry McKinney will be on the sideline for the Dickman Bowl, reporting on the action down there.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that and everything like that. So, I don't know.
All right, well, that's it. And thank you, fans, for a great season. We will see you again next year. Next week, of course, it is the Dickman Bowl from Salt Lake City. Larry McKinney will be there along with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. And until we speak again, this is Ned Garling along with Larry McKinney inviting you to stick around later on. It's Utah and Portland in the second playoff game here in the Phil Henry Football League. Has been brought to you by the Newcomb Group. The Newcomb Group. For money, cash, checks, traveler's checks, letters of credit. It's the Newcomb Group. We'll come to you. Don't bother us. The Newcomb Group. For the last 100 years, spending more money on themselves than ever before. Newcomb Group.